The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
See, Coach Rick Barnes said he spoke Tuesday with Seth Davis, who had the report earlier that Barnes reached out to UCLA first. Barnes said that Davis has apologized for making a mistake after Barnes called the report an absolute lie.
Yeah, man, I'm over that. Bear, are we ready to move on from this whole Rick Barnes UCLA thing? I feel like we've unpacked this about as much as can. Look, man, if your feelings are hurt about Rick Barnes, you need to get over it. He's your basketball coach. He ain't going anywhere. I think he's going to be here another 10 years, give or take a year or two.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, that horse is heading to the glue factory.
Yeah.
It's dead. All right, number two.
Number two, Tennessee baseball gets the win last night, 5-0 over Gardner-Webb. Tennessee leads the NCAA, their ninth shutout of the season, and that's two more shutouts than any other team in the country. So some really good pitching and defense put on by the Vols this season.
You think that's been the biggest difference this year? Just our arms are all of a sudden
pitching.
We've got good pitching.
Oh yeah, it's pitching. It's pitching, man. These guys, particularly the Friday night starter,
Garrett Stallings.
Yeah, man.
He's throwing triple digits.
Yeah, and then we got the Schultz guy is a big time arm too.
Schultz, I know.
We got pitching out there, and I think Vitello, he's got a swagger about it. I mean, go back to we've had a lot of fun with it, but the whole coach your team meat stick, like, you know, you're talking trash to the other manager across there. You're not backing down from anybody.
Calling out the NCAA.
It kind of reminds me of Bruce Pearl, his first year. They go down there to Austin to take on Texas and Rick Barnes. And they've got LaMarcus Aldridge and Booby Gibson and all these guys. And, you know, we're nobody at that point. And Pearl said, hey, look, man, put your heads up during pregame warmups. Put a little swagger out there. Like, make them look down there and think they're playing against somebody. I think Vitello gives us some of that, too. It's like, yeah, I know we've stunk for 10 years, but at some point, you got to go out there and win and act like winners. And I think we've got a little swagger this year, which is refreshing, Brandon.
Number three, Chris Johnson has signed a one-day contract to retire as a Tennessee Titan. He said today, quote, "The team and the city, they've always shown me so much love. I have great memories from my days with the Titans."
Always love CJ2K. Gonna respect him. One of the most electric players in the NFL the past 10 years or so. Bear, you know where Chris Johnson attended college?
Oh my goodness. Would that be the Eastern Carolina Pirates?
You are correct, sir. ECU.
Wonder if was Hart the athletic director when he was there?
No, he was the AD there like in the early 90s.
Okay.
Long time ago.
Okay.
Brandon?
All right, sticking in Nashville for number four, a Tennessee bill to allow sports betting has passed the Tennessee House of Representatives. So that cleared today. So it's still needs the Senate's vote, which is probably going to be sometime next week. So a big step for legalization of sports betting in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, now you'll be able to gamble legally in the state of Tennessee. We'll be able to bring it out of the shadows. You won't have to do it covered in shame in the closet by yourself on your phone on Bovada.
I kind of feel like it's a bad idea.
Well, you don't understand betting lines, so what does it matter to you?
I think it's because it's just a slippery.
It's a sin.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope for people. And people destroy their lives in gambling.
I feel like, though, I mean, With Nashville having the Titans, I feel like it's almost impossible for Tennessee not to pass it, right? I feel like I've read some things where these NFL teams are wanting to set up sports books inside their stadium so you can place
bets.
That's
how it is over in Europe with soccer.
Yeah.
Are you aware of that? They've got betting windows.
Hey, man, this is supposed to be the land of the free. I realize people ruin their lives gambling. People ruin their lives through drug abuse, alcohol abuse, all manner of things.
This is where
at the end of the day, you have to take personal responsibility. And just because you can't handle a certain quote unquote vice doesn't mean that I, who can handle it, shouldn't have the right to do it if I want to do it. I'm not a huge gambling guy. It's not going to change my behavior or anything, you know, one way or the other. But me, it's a fundamental free speech issue at the end of the day. And I don't understand why. Well, I understand why it's a big deal, but to me, it's like the
libertarian Russell showed up. Everybody,
it's like the marijuana issue, man. I mean, I think that ship has sailed, and it's inevitable. Whether it happens in the next 20 years or 30 years, it's going to happen. So, if you're the state, you might as well jump in there and make some money off of it and put it towards education or whatever other government initiative you want to use those tax dollars for, because it's going to be substantial. All right, Brandon, good stuff, my man. Appreciate it. Speaking of Nashville and the Titans and the draft and the NFL, coming up 10 minutes from now, we're going to be joined by Joe Rexrode of the Tennessean live from Nashville, where they are getting ready for the NFL draft here in about 28 hours down there on Broadway. This is a huge boon for the local economy. They're expecting 300,000 people visiting just for the draft in Nashville.
There's always something going on in Nashville every weekend. That's pretty wild. We got some breaking NFL news.
All right, let's head to the Fox Sports Knoxville breaking news desk this afternoon.
I do not know which city or county this is from, the district attorney is from, but the district attorney has announced he will not file charges in the investigation against Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill. He stated that a crime has occurred, but no conclusive evidence as to who committed it. I think this is a deal where he beat up his pregnant girlfriend, allegedly.
A crime has occurred, but we can't prove who done it?
Who did it, yeah.
What does the victim say?
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like that would be the critical piece of information in this situation. It's critical.
It's critical.
He broke his toddler son's arm.
Oh, my God.
What?
Allegedly? That's terrible.
I think it's got to be allegedly.
All right. Well, breaking news from the world of national football, the National Football League. I'm sure that's the kind of story that
Andy Reid's
they want to be, yeah, they want to have going right into one of the biggest nights of the NFL calendar. Star players,
yeah,
breaking a toddler's arm.
It's in the child abuse case.
Oh my God.
And then they put up in Kansas City, they put up his picture with Tyreek Hill cleared. He wasn't cleared. They said they couldn't prove who did it. That doesn't clear you.
Complete exoneration.
I mean, like, I feel like if you just got thrown out with me, I'm probably not going to get to be on the drive anymore with you. Whether or not you can prove it or not.
Yeah. I see that happening with a grown man with you. I like to think that do that to a child.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me if I came in one day and find out that Bears broken John Reed's arm.
It would. I guarantee you, though.
Or Houston Crest.
No. It'd probably be John, but it would start off as horseplay.
Mm-hmm. That just escalated, got out of control.
It got out of hand. John's my old buddy.
Bill says Vitello is affectionately known as Coach Meatstick.
Coach.
Is that a good nickname?
No, because that's what he calls. The other coaches.
It's good. But it's the kind of nickname, if we start calling him Coach Meatstick, everybody else, like, that's going to pick up. And it's not a nice thing to say about somebody, you know?
No. That's what he calls other coaches, and I'll be more worried about their team than his.
At Vol Recruiting 98 says, only reason the government is passing sports betting in Tennessee is because they know all of us Tennessee fans are going to go bet on Tennessee to go 10-2 every spring, and we'll be paying the national deficit. I ain't betting on that. I mean, Trey Wallace said an assistant told him that they feel like they should be 3 wins better this year. I feel like 8-4 is pushing it. I mean, would you bet on Tennessee winning 8 games?
Honestly, or according to the barometer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Brandon, would you bet on Tennessee winning 8 games?
I mean, I don't bet.
I feel like the over-under is 6.5, isn't it? Not 7.5.
I would not. I'd say 7. I couldn't pull the trigger on 8.
Yeah, I could pull the trigger on 7. I can't go 8. I hope so, man.
I'll pull the trigger on 9.
Oh, here we go. Here we go again.
We're going to beat BYU. We're going to beat the 3 scrub teams. That's 4. Vanderbilt, Kentucky, that's 6. Missouri, 7. South Carolina, 8. And then we're either beating Florida or Georgia. Oh, no, Mississippi State. Hell, I can talk myself probably into 10.
Well, that's what the guy is saying.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you're the idiot who's going to jump on there and put down
10 grand on the over. So what would they have to win for me to win?
I mean, it depends on what the bet is.
Over under on wins. I throw down $10,000. How many games does Tennessee have to win?
Bears essentially hitting on 21 right here. You just keep going.
Why would I be hitting on 21?
Exactly. I don't know.
21's fairly easy to understand.
I don't know. I don't think there are going to be any books putting odds on over under win total at 9.5 for the Vols. I think that's fantasy. But you live in a fantasy world, man. So you do you. You go there if you want. All right. Old Ben Franklin Motors, come on out and see us. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. I'm going to tell you about some of the deals that we got out on the lot here this afternoon. Here in just a few. Come check out these new Mitsubishis. Over 400 vehicles in stock today, and they've got something for everybody. The cool thing, you know, I mean, we've got plenty of cars. We got a lot of trucks out there. Some nice looking trucks on the lot today. Some nice looking Jeeps too out there on the side of the road if you're looking for something a little more sporty. We got some vans out here today as well. And the good thing, I mean, like, no matter what price range you're shopping in, man, we got stuff all the way from $1,500 if you just need a set of wheels on the road today, all the way up to $50,000 vehicles. They've got something that suits everybody's needs down here. So whether you're looking for an SUV, an economical sedan, they've got all kinds of stuff on the lot. And I'll tell you about these brand new Mitsubishis. Come out here and test drive one of these babies this afternoon at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Joe Rexroad of the Tennessean. Up next, we'll talk draft. We'll talk Titans. We'll talk maybe even a little bit of Preds. A little postmortem for the Preds when we continue next here on Fan Run. Back here on Drive Fox Sports Knoxville, it's coming to you live from Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike. Joe Rexroad of the Tennessean joins us now from Nashville. Joe, Russell Smith, Bear, here live at in West Knoxville. Hope you're doing well. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. Good to be with you. And yeah, just heading into the city for a Nashville Predators going away presser, and it's pretty bad traffic. But man, this is nothing like what it's going to be tomorrow around here. I know that.
Oh wow, yeah. I mean, it's just a huge week, and you know, I guess we were supposed to have a game 7 tonight in Nashville. That's not going to be happening. Let's start there for just a second. Obviously, very disappointing when you look at the Preds and what they've done the past couple of years to get bounced here in the first round. Where do the Predators go from here?
Well, I think there are going to be definitely more significant changes than there were a year ago. And this press conference coming up will be this very thing a year ago, which, of course, was after a second in Winnipeg. A lot was made of the guys going to David Poile and saying, hey, you know, we think we can do this. Keep us together. Give us a shot. And he said basically, you know, that he believed him, and he did. And, of course, you know, it was really a kind of a turbulent, kind of angst-ridden year. You know, great start, great finish, and really a lot of mediocrity for the bulk of the season. And it kind of played out in the postseason. So I think some major changes may be ahead. And if you look at the money, a year ago there were all these rumors, especially with some Canadian media, that P.K. Subban, you know, might be dealt. And I don't think that was ever a serious thing. I think it could be a serious thing now, just because he makes $9 million a year. And, you know, Dante Fanson really looks good. And if you could unload Subban and, you know, get some maybe young players or prospects in return, but open up that money, maybe you can pursue a forward. This team needs more quality at forward. And obviously Kyle Turris has just been an albatross around this team's neck. I mean, $6 million a year. He just isn't producing anything close to what a number two center should. So if they can find a trade partner for him, I think he will definitely be gone.
What is the conversation like around Pekka? I know that great goalies don't grow on trees. I know that the defense in front of him struggled at key times in this series, but the third season in a row where you've had, you know, specific one-game meltdowns in the playoffs, is it a situation where, like, you roll with, you know, there are no better options out there, so you just got to keep him, or is there any thought of moving on from him?
Well, no, I mean, you know, he's signed for the next 2 years, a reduced salary coming up, $5 million a year, and of course they have UC Saros there too. I mean, I think it'll be more of a split, but, I mean, honestly, he was their best player by 10 miles in the last time they played. I mean, he's the only reason that was a game. And I think different this year than last year. You know, a couple of those games against Winnipeg last year, he gave up some soft goals that, you know, that you just can't have. And, you know, I mean, he had bad nights. You know, they gave up 10 goals in those two games. I mean, I guess there are a couple that you hope he stops, but for the most part, that was just them getting abused, turning over the puck, and, you know, there's nothing you can do if you got a two-on-none, you know, in front of you. So I actually think in terms of his performance, you probably have fewer questions now than a year ago, other than just his advancing age, you know. But at this point, I still think that's one of the, you know, the best parts of this team, is that you've got two goaltenders who are both very good. At times, Rene is great. You know, we'll see if Saros can take another step and get to another level. But, no, I mean, I think probably next year it'll probably be pretty close to equal on workload, and then, you know, kind of based on performance, it could be, maybe it will be Saros' turn to start in the postseason next year.
Joe Rexroad of the Tennessean with us here this afternoon on The Drive. Joe, turning our attention to the draft tomorrow night downtown Nashville. I was reading your piece on the Tennessean website earlier today, and this is an absolutely huge event for Nashville, for the state, from an economic impact, from just a overall professional sports legitimacy impact. This is going to be an incredible couple of days for Nashville.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, the things they've done in building this stage and everything here, it's pretty amazing stuff. And I think the turnout will be huge. I mean, the weather's not supposed to be great tomorrow. So, you know, that could dampen things. And they may have to put some stuff inside for a while. But I think overall, you're talking about, free concerts from big country music stars. I think not just for Nashville and Tennessee, I think for the NFL, I think this will be a draft unlike any they've had. Obviously, they've, you know, moved around. They did Chicago, and that worked out well. They did Philly. You know, they did Jerry World last year, and that was fine. But I think this will be by far the most, you know, the biggest event of the bunch to date. And I think it'll probably set the standard for that. And we'll see what Vegas can do next year. And I'm looking at it right now at the stage and the screen, and it's like another world around here. Broadway is already its own world. So it's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. I'm just going to be out there roaming around all day tomorrow, see what kind of weird stuff I can find.
I'd imagine the people watching aspect of it will be a draw in and of itself. Joe, what do you think the Titans do at 19? I've seen the stuff today about Drew Locke. That seemingly came out of nowhere. Heard a lot of offensive line, defensive edge rusher, things of that nature. Obviously, Mike Vrabel wants to be a line of scrimmage type football team. What do you think the Titans are going to do tomorrow night?
Yeah, I don't buy the lock stuff at all. I mean, boy, that's a heck of a story if they do go that way. You know, I mean, I think the bottom line is they've got to try to ride Mariota. If they don't believe in him, then they would take Drew Lock. But you know, I think they're riding him another year, and you know, see how that turns out. I think that, first of all, I think there's definitely a chance that they trade down in this draft, because I think there are a lot of guys at their specific need. And so if there's no one that they're absolutely enamored with, and they feel like, well, stockpile picks, you know, add another pick somewhere along the way and go down and still get our guy, you know, I could really see that happening. But I think either D-line, I mean, I think it's high for both, a true edge guy, and then I think a true, you know, interior guy to help Jarrell Casey. I mean, he's really been a one-man show, and he's an underrated player in this league, but he can't do it alone, and he has not had enough help. I think if they get two guys they like there, I mean, I think you look at that defense and look at the back seven, and you could see where it could be pretty special. You know, I think somewhere along the way, maybe a tight end. They lost Luke Stocker, who actually was a really nice player for them last year. And maybe a receiver. I think they have to have at least one interior offensive lineman. But to me, it's the defensive front pieces. In this division, Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson and now Nick Foles, you've got to get to the quarterback. You've got to get to the quarterback from the interior. And I think that's where they're going to go.
And what are the vibes like around Marcus Mariota going into a contract year for him? Obviously, you know, it's can he stay healthy is going to be the key to the Titans season. If they do indeed stick with him, as it looks like they probably will, what was just the general consensus in Music City surrounding the Titans quarterback?
Well, I mean, it's the most talked about thing, you know, for the past couple of years, and I don't expect it to let up at all this year. You know, the two different things about him. One is the health, and that's the bigger concern to me. I mean, that's the bigger question about him. I think when he is healthy and when he gets the support he needs, enough of a run game, enough protection, he hasn't had great receivers. Now, I think he's a good NFL quarterback. I don't know if he has to be great, but I think he's good enough to win for you, you know, if you've got the right team around him. But that's, of course, provided he stays on the field. And legit questions about whether he can. So, yeah, you know, I think they're trying to give him as much support as they can. I think definitely his offensive line let him down last year. But still, I mean, a couple of those plays in which he got hurt, you know, they didn't look like much. And sometimes guys just are susceptible to that stuff, and you don't like the idea of nerve injury. So, look, I think this could absolutely be it for him this season. I mean, he hasn't gone through a full season healthy. But I also think it makes sense to give it one more roll if you're the Titans, because you really like all the intangibles he brings, and you really like his potential as a player. So we'll see. I think this is, you know, I think look, in a lot of cases, and I think probably a year ago, they probably figured they'd be looking at a long-term deal. Because if you make a long-term deal now, you're going to save yourself money on the back end. But no surprise that it's not happening now, and it's really just that wait-and-see kind of prove-it year for him.
Yeah. Joe Rexroad, the Tennessean. Joe, obviously a huge couple of days for Nashville. After this, what's the next big thing? They've talked about stadium renovations. I've heard rumblings of a new stadium, a dome, MLS getting started up there next year. What's next for Music City?
Yeah, well, I'm working on something on that right now too. And you know, the World Cup is, that's a big focus, you know, and then next year they'll find out about that. FIFA will pick its North American cities for the 2026 World Cup. That would be, you know, in a different way, I mean, this is the biggest sporting event, you know, but if you got World Cup games, that's the biggest global thing you will have had in this city. And I think, you know, Nashville has a shot. I mean, everything that they go after, they've been getting. You know, the Dome Stadium, the Titans have kind of made that clear. They don't want that. And I have serious doubts about whether they could get, you know, enough support publicly to make that happen. Now, could a Super Bowl, they are definitely going to have to renovate Nissan Stadium. Could Nashville, because of, you know, look at the NFL comes here when people didn't think it was going to happen this fast. NFL clearly likes Nashville. If you do enough without making it a dome to that stadium and you do some things the NFL would like to see, is it possible to get a Super Bowl in an open-air stadium here? I think it might be. Now, if you don't do the dome, you're not getting the Final Four. You're not getting the college football playoff. Those are two things that I think would be on the table with the new stadium. But, again, the Titans have to be on board with that. And all indications right now is they're not interested in it.
All right, good stuff. Well, Joe, enjoy the festivities this weekend in Nashville. Always appreciate your time.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yep, Joe Rexroad of the Tennessean, at Joe Rexroad on Twitter, if you want to read the great piece he wrote about the economic impact this weekend of the NFL draft in Nashville. Bear, I'm looking at the weather, too.
It's not supposed to be real good, is it?
Thunderstorms starting in the afternoon tomorrow in Nashville, and then rain looks like pretty much all day Friday, and then kind of a cloudy weekend.
Is that what it's like for here, too?
Give me just a second, and I can tell you. I don't think
so. We'll be partly cloudy, so we're going to have
a little rain
Friday.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit tomorrow.
Cool off a little bit Friday.
Yeah.
Love this weather, man.
Oh, I wish it stayed like this year-round.
Beautiful
day. Interesting
day.
Stuff from Mr. X.
Yeah? Anything stand out? What did you learn?
The stuff about, you know, with Mariota, and regardless of whether or not they draft a quarterback, you know, you're going to give him one more shot. I mean, look at all the money they've invested in him.
Yeah.
I just don't think. And it's the nerve stuff going on with that whole deal last year. Like, that's obvious to me that just didn't go away.
Well, can you get a franchise quarterback that's guaranteed to be, that you feel very, very confident is going to be better than Mariota long-term at 19 tomorrow? I don't know, man. I think he could. I'm not a huge fan of this quarterback draft, man.
It's weak. Kyler Murray. I wouldn't take Kyler Murray in a million years.
No.
He's just too small.
Yeah, he's, you know, you're going to trade one beat up quarterback for another. And I know they don't have a shot at him, but
to get beat up. I mean, he's like Doug Flutie size, isn't he?
Yeah,
defensive linemen are moving quite a bit faster nowadays than they did back in Flutie's days.
Bear, I know you're following this closely.
What?
Manchester City has scored.
Oh, God, soccer.
In the Manchester Derby to take a 1-0 lead over Manchester United at Old Trafford. Terrible news if you're a Liverpool fan.
Are there any Liverpool fans at the station?
I don't know.
I always figured you would be, just since you can do the Liverpool accent so well.
No, I mean, this is
the Scouse.
This is a great season for them, but they have not been, I mean, I guess they're quote-unquote a big club. They certainly used to be a big club, but they have not been on, I mean, you talk about following the English Premier League, they have just not been on Chelsea, Manchester United, Man City, Arsenal's level the last 20 years. They just haven't. And they have a great team this year, and they have a great coach and some great players, and they could win it, but not looking good if you're a Liverpool fan today.
There's that shot.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Open up the phones here, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. You want to jump in. We'll be right back.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Cruise along with you here on a Wednesday afternoon edition of The Drive at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Russell at Bear hanging out with you. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning into the show this afternoon. Portions of our program brought to you by our friends at East 10 Warehouse and Distribution. Almost 40 years in business now. East 10 Warehouse and Distribution is the preferred source for third-party logistics. Their solutions include warehousing, inventory management, order fulfillment, pick and pack, cross-docking services. Contact East 10 Warehouse and Distribution at 865-521-6143. That's 521-6143, or just go online to east10warehouse.com. All right, we're going to go to the phones here. And we're going to talk to Chris in Memphis. Now, Chris, I want to welcome you to the show here this afternoon.
Just want to say, y'all, man, I want to start off by apologizing for my call Monday.
Chris,
I got a little
carried
away talking basketball. And
Chris, stop. Take a breath. Chris, hold on. You know, traditionally, I bring you on the phone. Like, I say, hey, how are you? You say, good, Russ, how are you? And then we jump into things. I just want to let you know, man. Like, I felt like I did you kind of a solid the other day. Bear doesn't want to take your phone calls anymore because you've been kind of a jerk. I mean, if we're just being honest, man to man, like, you've been kind of a jerk lately. This is not great phone calls. So I want to give everybody a chance to talk. We're going to take your phone call again today. All I'm asking is that we keep it civil, man. Like, there's no need for this, you know, there's no need for this undercurrent of hostility.
The aggression will not stand. I've got my finger on the button, Russ.
All right. So that being said, good afternoon, Chris. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing pretty good. I want to talk football, actually. And I heard Bear said we'd win 10 games, and I know we don't get along, but I have to agree with him.
Oh.
That's unbelievably scary for me.
Chris the Viger is extending a –
The Viger.
He's extending an olive branch.
I don't know that we're going to let Chris jump on the bandwagon. You're going to have to make a decision. Either you're with us or against us, Chris.
He's a Tennessee football fan and a Memphis basketball fan. That's
about as weird as it gets. The only thing weirder than that is the Alabama fan in football and the Kentucky fan in basketball.
Well, that's just front runner. I mean, nonsense.
I just think our team's going to be a lot more improved this year. I think JG is going to lead us to at least 10 or 11 games.
So you think 10 and 2 regular season with like 11 in the bowls? I mean,
I feel like he's still in some of my thunder.
Or the SEC.
I'm just going to step back and let you guys, because this is la la land. Listen, man, I wish you guys were right, but there's no way we're going 10-2 next year. I'm sorry. I hate to be the wet blanket.
It's
a possibility, Russ. Y'all go ahead and have this magic unicorn conversation. Don't let me stop.
It's definitely a possibility.
It's the most favorable schedule we've had in a while.
Russ, don't you agree? Oh, Russ really isn't taking part in this.
No, I agree. The schedule is favorable.
The only one on there that I feel like we don't have – much of a chance to win is Alabama. Send all the rest of them to me. 11-1, Russ.
I agree with you.
SEC East champs.
Wow.
And we'll be 11-2 going to the Sugar Bowl. Alabama will beat us again.
Bear, did you watch the Orange and White game? We still can't protect our quarterback.
We'll be better in the fall, man. They'll get it figured
out. We have Darnell Wright coming in.
Yep. Wanya Morris, Darnell Wright. We're going to start two freshmen.
Yeah, that's always the recipe for success.
In the SEC.
See, you can't even keep a straight face having this conversation.
8-4 would be great, honestly. Hey, we ain't winning 10 games this year unless some miracle happens.
What do you think about that, Chris, in Memphis?
I don't know. I'm standing by by what I say. But – thank y'all, and can't believe I finally agreed with Bear on something.
All right, Chris, good to hear from you. See, I'm going to go ahead and get you out on that note so we don't have to flush you today. See, like that's
the first call he's made it through without getting flushed.
I mean, that's how men talk to each other, man. Like you can disagree without being disagreeable, and we could talk about things. And
I didn't start it, Russ.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking to him, man. I feel like that's progress. I feel that progress for Chris in Memphis, a.k.a. the Viker.
That's so weird.
Vol football fan, Memphis Tiger basketball fan. Only person I've ever known like that.
I mean, most Memphis fans hate Tennessee. They root for their rinky-dink football program.
Do you really? I mean, do you think our offensive line is going to be better? Like, let's assume
I think it's going to be better. I just think that we're going to be young and make some mistakes.
I wouldn't assume that we start two true freshmen. First of all, as highly touted as they are, I would not assume it might happen.
Darnell Wright's probably not, because he's kind of, if he came in when Wanye did at Christmas break, you know, in January, I'd maybe give him a shot. But that's an awful big ask to show up in the summertime and then just start off in the SEC as a starter on an offensive line.
I think Wanye being here for the spring was huge. Now he's getting a taste of Camp Craig Fitzgerald right now. He's probably running a, you know, steep incline hill somewhere as we speak.
About 300 pounds.
He's
backpack.
Probably, yeah, he's probably not enjoying this hot weather as much as we are.
Have you seen him out yet around town?
Who?
Wanye?
I've not seen him in person, but I mean, I've seen lots of pictures and video.
He is massive.
Can I say that? And I don't want to make it weird, but like that's one giant ass, man.
He's a big dude.
That is a large posterior.
That's where you get weird about it, isn't it?
I'm just saying, like it's
don't make it weird.
It's enormous. It's giant.
I was just more like he's like the mountain.
I mean, I was watching the Orange and White game, and they've got like the camera on the field next to Pruitt because he's standing behind there.
Yeah.
And they're like zooming in on it, and I'm just like, my God, look at the size of that thing. It was like blocking out part of the sun in Neyland Stadium. Wanye Morris's rear.
He's obviously bigger than everybody else on the team. It's noticeable. He's one of the biggest guys on the team.
I'm sorry, Brandon, did I make it weird?
I mean, no, you're telling the truth.
Good. Yeah. You've noticed that too.
Yeah, it's
weird like you are.
It's rather large.
No, large doesn't do it. I mean, it's gargantuan, I think, is a good word. Colossal.
Colossal?
I'm just saying it's really big. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show, 546-8200. You look at the line that we were playing at the end of last year after Trey Smith went out, and it was Marcus Tatum at left tackle, right? It was Tatum at left tackle, Jameer Johnson at left guard, Ryan Johnson at center.
Mm-hmm.
Who was our right guard towards it? Was it Niehaus? Niehaus was starting games at some point at right guard. And who was right tackle? Brandon, do you remember?
No, not off the top of my head. I can try to look.
Oh, it was Drew Richmond. Which, I mean, we just forgotten about him. Like, he should still be on this team, right?
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Was he still hanging out in the portal?
Which is why, yeah, where did he go?
Nobody wanted him.
But, I don't know if that's true, but we just haven't.
I feel like if somebody had wanted him, Russ.
Well, he was talking to Texas and Ohio State. So, like, maybe they didn't want him. Maybe that's wishful thinking. But if that's who he's talking to, then surely Western Kentucky would take him, right? I mean, somebody will want him. But anyway.
You think he thinks it's beneath him to go to, like, a Western Kentucky
I don't
or step
know.
Down?
I have no idea what he's thinking. I know Tennessee didn't want him to go. I do know that. But he is a perfect example of why I'm not just penciling in both Wanye Morris and Darnell Wright, because he was every bit as highly as touted as they were. We thought he was going to be just as good, and he wasn't. So,
I feel like there were rumblings early on that, you know.
You've got a lot of guys coming back who should be better. Like, Jameer Johnson's not going to get worse. He's going to be a better player next year for Tennessee.
He just needs to grow up.
Brandon Kennedy, we haven't seen much, so it's hard to know what you got there. I know they practiced Jerome Carvin, and he's another guy. He's going to be better than he was
Jerome Carvin
last year. Yeah, he's just
him and Jameer Johnson. I've got every
you know,
what am I looking for? I expect them to get better and be solid SEC linemen.
Niehaus and Tatum, those guys were, you know, they came in here as like 250-pound offensive linemen under Butch Jones. You know, maybe they're not quote-unquote big-time SEC-level offensive linemen. They're still on the team. They're going to be better. So the guys that you have from last year that played, they're going to improve. Now, is it drastic? I don't know. How much better is Wanye Morris going to get from spring practice to, you know, to fall camp? I don't know. But it would stand to reason that they're at least a little bit better. But I just don't see if you're talking about 9 or 10 wins, I don't see that with this offensive line.
Okay.
If you get to 7 or 8, like I'm not
like you'd be thrilled with 8 wins.
I'm not. Yeah, I absolutely, man.
You'd head in the offseason next year just happy, happy, happy.
I'm not turning my nose up at 7 wins. I think 7 and 5 would be pretty good, considering you went 5 and 7 last year.
8 and 5 with a bowl win.
And that's nothing to write home about. We're not going to be talking contract extension or building statues or naming streets after anybody if we go 7 and 5. That's not what I'm saying. But, I mean, we've won 9 games in 2 years.
Oh.
That's where we're coming from right now.
You say it like that, Russ.
Well, stay with us. The Drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville. We're back with more of your phone calls right after this.
The Drive.
If you're thinking
Blainable. The unimaginable. The Drive.
Hey, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the Drive. Let's get Josh in here next. Good afternoon, Josh.
What's going on, Russ, Bear?
Big Josh, long time no talk. How you doing, man?
How you doing? Good. Running roads. Man, if I was the Titans, I'd trade that number one to Arizona for Rosen. I'd rather have him than Drew Lock any day.
Really?
I would. I'm not that impressed with Lock. He's an interception machine, man. I know he plays great one game, but the next game he throws 3 or 4 picks, and that's not going to fly in the NFL. I'd take Josh Rosen any day over him. I was kind of hoping the Steelers would trade their number one for him. I don't have much faith in Dobbs myself. But.
Steelers signed Roethlisberger to a 2-year extension today, in addition to the 1 year he's got left. So he's scheduled to be there through 2022.
Yeah, he won't be there.
Yeah, I mean, I want to keep Big Ben, but, you know how injuries are, and he's getting older. So I don't know. When he goes down, it's over with. But you look good in black and gold, Bear. I heard you talking earlier. It looked a lot better than that yellow and crimson or whatever it is.
It's garnet and gold. Garnet and gold. I was a Steelers fan when I was a little kid. They were my AFC team. The Redskins were my NFC team.
It's a good franchise, you know.
I'll tell you when became a Steelers fan. I think it was 82. Do you remember when they came to Neyland in a preseason, Bear?
Yeah. Actually, I sold Cokes at that game. Yeah, I was young, but yeah, I remember it.
Bradshaw, Franco Harris, Jack Lambert.
Yeah, Lambert. Beck killed one of the guys that hold the sticks. He completely clobbered one of those guys.
Was it Anthony Hancock that played for the Patriots? It was one of those receivers we had that was real good.
Or Stanley Morgan.
Stanley Morgan.
Hancock Stanley Morgan, yeah.
Chiefs.
That's my earliest pro football memory. But 7-5, Russell, I think that's optimistic. And Pruitt needs to get in gear on the recruiting trail. What we rank, like 20th, 25th?
Surely there are some commitments coming down the road. I'm not pressing the panic button yet for the class of 2020. Everything I've heard, they're setting up for a pretty darn good class.
Well, I hope they hit in state a little harder than they did last year. They've already let one go, and I wasn't thrilled with that. And if we get another repeat of next year, I won't be really disappointed if we don't start signing some better in-state talent.
Well, what do you do? You know, it's you got to.
Well, you pay them like everybody else does. Give him some money.
You got to have better players to win games, but you got to win games to get the better players because the better players don't want to play for a team that went 4-8 and 5-7. So
send them down to old Ben Franklin. Have him pick out something. Get some guys over there. We need some talent.
We'll see what we can do, Josh.
Have you heard anything about Nashville? I heard you talking earlier. Have you heard anything about them getting a baseball team?
I know that's been talked about off and on for years. Now, the AAA team they've got there, the Sounds, I understand that the new stadium that they just opened like two or three years ago is, you know, it's a minor league ballpark, and it's a big one for city Nashville size. But I understand that the plans they have, and somebody, I'm sure we got lots of Nashville listeners can correct me if I'm wrong, but like the plans there are, could you potentially expand into a major league sized, you know, 40,000-ish seat stadium if Nashville were to ever get a major league franchise?
Well, I'd heard that the commission, they want to add two more teams, but I think Charlotte wants a team as well. And they're not going to put them both in the South, I don't think. No. So it'd probably be between.
My hope is that it's an American League team.
That would be in Nashville? Nashville got one?
Yeah. I'd like to have an American
League. That kind of sucks. I was hoping to get to watch the Braves more.
Why would you want to do that?
I mean, I don't think the city cares. You know, they'll take whatever. You know, you just get a – you're trying to get a Major League Baseball franchise. You're not going to turn your nose up at a team because of whatever league they play in.
I just think it would be add some balance. We get a good American League team down here in the South.
Yeah.
Hey, you heard I heard Barnes recruiting another point guard. What's his name? Have you heard Cone or something like that?
Yeah, Jalen Cone.
Do what?
Jalen Cone is the young man's name. He's out of North Carolina. He's in the class of 2020, so he's a rising high school senior. But Barnes and Tennessee have talked to him about potentially reclassifying, in which case he would be able to play this next season.
And is it he's going to UT? Do you know who it's between?
Yeah, I mean, TCU, a couple of other schools.
Nobody regal
in on him, but I've heard that for a couple of reasons he's got Tennessee listed pretty highly, and I think we were the first school to talk to him about potentially reclassifying. So it sounds like Tennessee's in pretty good shape there.
Yeah, it sounds like Bone's gone too from that. But anyway, I hadn't talked to you guys in a while. Hope y'all have a good Easter. Y'all take care. Hang in there.
Thanks.
See you.
Thanks, Josh. You too, man. Good to hear from you. And
careful.
I should say, I don't know that Bone is gone. I think that this could be kind of a contingency thing. Like, I wonder if the way Barnes is pitching it to Cone, and we got to differentiate because of Cone and Bone, I know it would be confusing, but I wonder if Barnes, the way they're pitching Jalen Cone is, hey, here's the situation with Jordan Bone. We'd like for him to come back, but he might not. If he doesn't, what do you think about reclassifying and playing with us next year? Like, what can we put you in kind of a holding pattern? If Bone doesn't get drafted and he comes back, which is looking less and less likely,
right?
You know,
I mean, the only problem
go ahead and play, commit to us, play your senior year. We'll sign you in November like normal. Then you'll come in 2020. But if Bone goes, whether he's drafted or whether he just wants to go play in Europe, whatever, we got a spot for you.
Yeah, the only thing about that is, has he fallen in love with the idea of reclassifying?
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Then
you don't have a spot for him. He goes somewhere else. All right, stay with us. Hour number three of the drive coming up. Brandon will be back with your top five coming up next right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.